Welcome to Money Mastery with your host, Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. Achieving financial confidence means understanding how to navigate market changes, plan for retirement, and make smart money decisions. Money Mastery is here to guide you with strategies, insights, and tools designed to help you pursue your financial goals. Now let's get started with Money Mastery with your host, Amanda.
Hello and welcome to Money Mastery. My name is Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us online at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net. And while at my website, click on the radio page to check out past shows or to subscribe to our program on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. There are certain topics that we get emotional pretty quickly about, and money between parents and children is definitely one of them. The reality is some financial and end-of-life decisions don't just affect you. They can just have a lasting impact on your family. And in some cases, those decisions can create confusion, tension, or even resentment down the road. One idea that tends to come up in these conversations is pretty simple. Avoid surprises, because what many families want most isn't perfection, it's clarity. So knowing what's coming, understanding the plan, and not being caught off guard later on. So today we're going to walk through a handful of financial missteps that can create challenges for the next generation. And just as importantly, how these situations can often be handled a little bit more thoughtful with a little bit of planning. Let me bring on my co-host, Jacqueline, who always helps keeps these conversations grounded.
Well, thank you, Amanda. And you're right. This is one of those topics that people don't always love to talk about, but it comes up more often than you'd think. A lot of people assume everything will just sort of work itself out. Just when there's a lack of communication or planning, that's usually when families run into trouble. So where would you like to begin with this one?
During today's conversation, we'll be using a recent AARP article that's headlined, Five Financial Mistakes That Will Make Your Kids Hate You. And yes, I recognize that's a pretty in-your-face headline, but the article raises some details that are worth exploring here. So let's start with one of the more common issues, and that's not having an estate plan in place. So when someone passes away without a will, what's known as dying intestate, the process of settling that estate can become more complicated and time-consuming for the family. Even relatively small accounts still need to be addressed, and that responsibility often falls to loved ones during an already difficult time. So a well-structured estate plan constructed with the help of your attorney and your financial services professional can help provide clarity around how assets are distributed and who is responsible for handling those decisions. It can also outline important roles, like who would serve as an executor of the estate or who would step in with power of attorney if needed. Making those decisions ahead of time and communicating them clearly can go a long way towards reducing confusion later on.
Well, yeah, Amanda, and that's one of those areas where people tend to put it off or assume they don't really need anything formal in place. But like you said, even if the estate isn't large, there are still details that have to be handled. And if nothing's been documented, that can leave family members trying to figure things out on the fly.
So another area that actually creates challenges over time is the lack of communication around finances. So in a lot of cases, it's not just the financial decisions itself, it's the uncertainty that comes with them as well. So when unexpected isn't very clear, it can lead to confusions or assumptions that may not reflect what was actually intended. So having an open communication ahead of time can help set those expectations. That might include how assets are actually structured, whether leaving an inheritance is part of the plan, or if other priorities are taking the lead.
And that makes sense, Amanda, because I think a lot of people assume that their intentions are obvious, even if they've really never said them out loud.
That's usually where the disconnect actually happens. So for some households, the focus might be on enjoying retirement and using those resources during their lifetime. For others, leaving something behind is an important goal. There isn't a single right approach, but communication and communicating those intents early on can help provide misunderstandings later on. It can also help to think about how and when these conversations happen. Choosing a time that allows for a thoughtful discussion and giving family members the opportunity to ask questions can make those conversations more productive. And from a practical standpoint, making sure important information is organized and accessible can make a big difference here. Things like account details, key documents, and where those items are stored. Having that information clearly laid out can help reduce stress if those details are ever needed.
Well, and that makes a lot of sense, Amanda, because it's not always about the numbers. It's about whether people feel like they're in the dark. And I think a lot of families avoid these conversations because they're uncomfortable or they're not sure how to bring it up. But Amanda, like you said, when nothing gets discussed, people tend to fill in the blanks on their own. So how do you usually suggest people start with that conversation without it feeling overwhelming?
So that's actually a great question, because starting the conversation is usually the hardest part. In many cases, it begins by keeping things simple and focusing on clarity rather than trying to cover everything at once. So letting your family know that you've actually put some planning in place and what you want them to do and understanding how things are organized can open the door without making it feel overwhelming. So from there, it can actually become more of an ongoing conversation rather than a single high pressure moment.
Well, that approach alone probably makes it a lot easier because it takes some of the pressure out of it.
Right. And it doesn't have to be one big conversation. Now, another situation that can be difficult for families, but doesn't always get talked about, is what happens after someone experiences fraud. Financial scams have become more common, and they often involve very socialized tactics. In some cases, individuals may not even realize what's happening until after the fact. So when it does happen, there can be tenderness to stay quiet about it. Sometimes that comes from embarrassment or simply not wanting to worry others. But when that information comes out later, it can create confusion or strain within the family. So having an open communication about what happened and taking steps to address it can help keep everyone on the same page and focused on what to do next. So there are also resources available for people who find themselves in this situation. So reporting the incident and speaking with trained professionals can be also an important step towards resolving the issue and preventing that in future problems.
Well, that feels like a tough one, Amanda, because there's a real human side to it. You know, no one wants to admit that they've been taken advantage of, especially when these scams can be so convincing. But like you said, keeping it quiet can sometimes make things more complicated later. When something like that does happen, what are some of the first steps people can take to start getting things back on track?
So that's actually an important question, because the first step after something like that actually happens is really shape what happens next. In many cases, it starts about documentation, what took place, and reaching out to the appropriate institution, whether it's the bank, credit card company, or another financial provider. From there, reporting the situation and getting guidance from trained professionals can help create a path forward. Just as important, though, you have to make sure is being trusted as a family member into the conversation. So having another set of eyes and ears involved can make sure it is easier to navigate what can be a very stressful situation.
Well, that piece stands out, Amanda, because I could see someone wanting to handle it quietly, but involving another person probably changes how manageable it can feel.
It often does, especially in a situation that can feel overwhelming. Now, another area that can create long-term challenges is underestimating what retirement may actually cost. So one of the key factors here is longevity. People are living longer, and what that actually makes is a little bit more difficult to predict how far retirement savings need to go. When that gets underestimated, it can be put a lot of pressure on your plans later on in life. So a thoughtful approach often includes building into a long-term horizon and accountability for expenses that may increase over time, especially when it comes to healthcare. So healthcare costs in particular can be a significant part of that evaluation. So even for individuals who are relatively healthy at retirement, out-of-pocket expenses can add up over the years. Planning for those costs ahead of time can help reduce the likelihood of unexpected financial strain later on. So another detail that sometimes gets overlooked is keeping beneficiary designations up to date. So assets like retirement accounts and insurance policies typically pass based on named beneficiaries, not what's written in your will. So after major life events, reviewing your designations can help ensure everything's aligned with current intentions.
That's a good reminder, Amanda, because I think a lot of people assume once they've created a will, everything's just covered. But like what you're saying, there are these other moving pieces that can override that if they're not kept current. Well, before we keep going with today's conversation, Amanda, let's take a quick pause and remind our listeners how they can get in touch with you.
Just give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us online at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net. Scheduling a consultation only takes a few minutes, and we're always happy to work around your schedule.
Perfect. And thanks, Amanda. When it comes to retirement planning, where do you usually see people misjudge things the most?
So that's a great question, because this is one area where small assumptions can lead to bigger issues later on. So another issue that can also create tension within families is how assets are divided. So in some cases, the way an estate is structured can come as a surprise, and that's often where misunderstanding leads. So an estate plan is meant to provide clarity and direction, but if expectations aren't aligned ahead of time, it can create challenges during an already emotional period.
That's where emotions can run pretty high, Amanda, especially if something feels unexpected or unclear.
You nailed it. So now that doesn't necessarily mean everything has to be divided equally. Every family is different, and what makes sense in one situation may not make sense in another. So in some cases, different assets may carry different value to different people. One person may have a strong attachment to a home or a specific item, while someone else may prefer something more flexible like cash or other financial assets.
Well, and that actually makes a lot of sense, Amanda, because equal and fair don't always mean the same thing.
That's a fair distinction. And that's where communication becomes especially important. So having those conversations ahead of time and understanding what matters to each person can help shape a plan that feels more thoughtful and intentional. So when people feel heard, it can go a long way towards reducing the chances of conflict later on.
Yes. And Amanda, you mentioned financial scams earlier in the show. And because it's such an important topic for many of our listeners, can we spend the rest of today's episode going into more detail on that subject?
That's a terrific idea. So let's do it. So Huntington Bank has an article with the headline, "Outsmarting Fraud, Five Effective Ways to Protect Your Wealth." But I think that should help us fuel an informational conversation before we sign off here today. So let's talk about what that actually looks like in practice. So one of the most basic but often overlooked starting points is password management. It sounds simple, but weak or reused passwords are often one of the most common ways cyber criminals gain access to financial accounts. So using strong, unique passwords and enabling multi-factor authentication, which is the extra step where you confirm your identity through a text or an app, can go a long way towards keeping those accounts secure.
Well, and that's one of those things that feels like a small detail, but the consequences of ignoring it can be pretty significant.
Exactly. And the next one is closely related, which is being cautious about what you click on. Phishing emails and text messages have become increasingly convincing. So cyber criminals may pose as a financial institution, a realtor, or even someone offering an investment option. And one click can expose sensitive information. So a good rule of thumb is to avoid clicking on unexpected links or attachments. And it can be especially cautious when using public Wi-Fi networks. If you need to access financial accounts while traveling, using a virtual private network or a VPN can help protect your connection.
Well, and that investment opportunity angle is a little alarming because those pitches can sound really legitimate on the surface.
They can, and that's part of what makes them effective. So working with a financial services professional can also help in these situations because having someone in your corner makes it easier to identify red flags and ignore unsolicited pitches. Now, another area worth paying attention is to monitoring financial accounts regularly. So setting up a real-time alerts notification sent directly to your phone or email for unusual activity or transactions can help catch potential issues earlier. And it's worth noting that while accounts like 401ks and pension plans generally carry certain protection, the level of protection for IRAs can vary depending upon state laws. So that's one more reason to stay actively engaged with how accounts are structured and monitored.
So it's not just about protecting what's coming in, but keeping an eye on what's already there.
That's a good way to put it. So the fourth area the article highlights is real estate scams. And this is one more surprise that most listeners might not know. So according to the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center, real estate related fraud results in over $145 million in losses in 2023. So a common tactic involves sending fake messages that appear to come from trusted third parties like a realtor, attorney, or bank with institutions to wire funds or change payment details.
Well, that's a significant number, Amanda, and it sounds like those scams could happen to almost anyone going through a real estate transaction.
They could, and the best protection is simply due diligence. So always verify payment instructions directly with your agent or financial institution before acting, especially when large lump sums are involved. And the fifth strategy actually involves trust, so which may be a meaningful tool for protecting assets beyond just estate planning purposes. From a cybersecurity standpoint, a trust can help protect personal details like where you live or the value of your home from being easily accessible through public records. So cyber criminals sometimes use publicly available information, such as property records and other searchable public data, to identify financial targets. So reducing that exposure could be worthwhile considering for some families.
Well, that's a connection I don't think most people make. They think of trusts in terms of inheritance, not necessarily as a layer of financial security.
And like most planning tools, the right approach really depends on individual circumstances. So working with an estate planning professional is the best way to determine whether that kind of structure makes sense. So the bigger takeaway from all of this is that protecting your wealth isn't just about managing a portfolio. It's also about protecting your identity, your accounts, and your digital presence. So taking some of those steps proactively could go a long way towards keeping your financial plan on track.
And that's a really good way to frame it because it ties directly back to everything that we've talked about earlier in the show. You know, estate planning, family communication, fraud awareness. I mean, it all connects. So before we wrap up today, Amanda, can you remind our listeners how they can get in touch with you?
Absolutely. If anything we've talked about today has raised questions, or if you'd like to sit down and take a closer look at where things stand for you, give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us online at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net. And we can walk you through this in a single conversation. And we're always happy to work around your schedule.
Well, thanks so much, Amanda. And thank you, listeners, and for everyone who joined us today. These are important conversations, and we're glad that you're having them with us.
We'll see you again next week on Aspire Money Management. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Money Mastery with Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. If you're ready to take the next step toward a stronger financial future, contact Amanda and her team today at 919-342-7715 or visit aspiremoneymanagement.net. Be sure to tune in next week for more financial strategies and insights right here on Money Mastery.